You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is June 1st, 2021. Well, will the story never end? Will the conspiracies ever cease? Well, maybe once the real truth comes out, maybe it'll happen. I'm talking about the mysterious deaths of Marilyn Monroe, Dorothy Kilgallen, the assassination of JFK and Robert Kennedy, and we could go on and on and on. But our good friend is back with us, Mark Shaw, authority, leading historian on this period of time, these assassinations, with a new book. It's available on Amazon. It's called Collateral Damage. And there was a lot of collateral and a lot of damage after the JFK assassination, which led to so many others and so much. Mark, it's great to have you back on the show. So briefly, okay, for those of you who weren't alive back in 1963, I was but a six-year-old child. Just tell us what happened here. Besides Kennedy being shot, what happened exactly?
Well, let's move ahead to that, because it's interesting what happened here, Carrie. As you know, I'd first written a book about Melvin Belli, who was Jack Ruby's attorney. Then I turned my attention to the fixing of the 1960 election with a book called The Poison Patriarch, and showed how Joe Kennedy had set all that up and everything. Then I wrote a book you're very familiar with, The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, about Dorothy Kilgallen, the famous reporter who covered the Jack Ruby trial, interviewed Ruby and all that, then denial of justice. So frankly, I was done. In those four books, I had basically gone ahead and provided what I believed were plausible theories in terms of what happened. Melvin Belli was brought in to represent Jack Ruby after he shot Lee Harvey Oswald. His part in the what I call the plot to kill the president was to silence Ruby and also make him look crazy by using an insanity defense. So I proved that in that book. Then I went ahead in The Poison Patriarch, went back to the 60 election when Joe Kennedy made a deal with the wrong guys, the mafia, the underworld, to help him win that election because they were going to lose unless they won West Virginia and Illinois. Sam Giancana, Carlos Marcello, Traficante, they all contributed and they helped them win that election. Joe said, look, you help us win, we get in the White House, we leave you alone. Well, I had an eyewitness, and I quoted him in that book, who was right there when Joe Kennedy ordered JFK to appoint Bobby Kennedy attorney general. And predictably, there was a double cross because Bobby went after all of those people, especially Carlos Marcello. So I had all that information, and then I went ahead and found out about Dorothy Kilgallen. I didn't know anything other, Carrie, than her being a star on What's My Line, the quiz show. That's what most people remember her from in the 1950s and 60s. But I learned that she was much more than that. She was a Pulitzer Prize nominated journalist for the New York Journal American. She covered the Dr. Sam Shepard and the Lindbergh baby kidnapping cases. She was syndicated in that newspaper to 200 newspapers across the country, had a radio show listened to a million people. And more than anything, I learned she was unlike most of the people who've written about the JFK assassination, she was there at the Ruby trial, interviewed Ruby, wrote the first columns, The Oswald File Must Not Close, and several others after interviewing Ruby and all of that. And she was the only person really standing up against J. Edgar Hoover's ludicrous shouts to the world that it was Oswald alone. So then I went ahead after The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, which I'm pleased to say was a bestseller. There's more than 2 million views of my presentations and interviews up on YouTube about that book and the new and Denial of Justice, the next one, because I found the Ruby trial transcripts. And I could read an excerpt from you. There were about 2,000 pages. I read them all. And I found that basically there was damaging evidence in there that there was a plot to kill the president. Jack Ruby says that he would be there when Oswald was transferred, that the cops helped him get into the basement, that he posed as a reporter to get in there. And all of that was a real revelation. I put the Ruby trial transcripts on my website, markshawbooks.com, and people from all over the world kept saying, my gosh, finally, we have some proof from the trial itself that there was a plot to kill the president. So, Kerry, I was going to quit. But so many of my supporters and readers around the world kept saying, is there a connection between the deaths of Dorothy Kilgallen and Marilyn Monroe? And I didn't think there would be, frankly. But when I started in, the first thing I found out was that Dorothy and Marilyn were good friends. Marilyn had been to Dorothy's mansion there on East 68th Street in New York for parties. I had the butler's daughter who confirmed that. And so I knew that they were friends. And then I found these articles written by Dorothy about Marilyn, both before and after she died in August of 1962. Now, what's interesting about my research, my checkered career, you know, as a network legal analyst and a criminal defense lawyer and all of that, I've always done things ass backwards. So basically, that's what I did here. I began with the JFK assassination, which took place in 1963. Then I looked at Dorothy's death, which took place in 1965. And now I'm going back in time to look at Marilyn's death in August of 1962. Kerry, a lot of people don't realize they died within 40 months of each other, each at an early age. And so I started to look into that to see what the connections could be between Marilyn's death and Dorothy's death and the JFK assassination and Bobby Kennedy. So I did it all ass backwards, but frankly, it really paid off because it opened up new material about Dorothy, new material about JFK, and fresh evidence about Marilyn's death.
Now, let me go over something with you. There is a private investigator by the name of Becky Aldridge, and she discovered a box of papers that said on them restricted until 2039, and this was a number of years ago. And in this, she finds her brother, who was, or maybe it was her father, who was a private detective, who had a wiretap and had Marilyn Monroe's house in Hollywood bugged. And this one goes before. So supposedly JFK and RFK went to see her the night of her death. And she started screaming at them. And the fact is that, pretty much she wound up dead after that. There was a transcript that he had of the tape, the private investigator, but the tape itself was lost. And then there's her psychiatrist who thinks she definitely didn't kill herself.
Well, let me just back up just a little bit, because there have been 1,000 books written about Marilyn's death. Let's face it. Okay, and there's all these accounts and everything. What I did and what I try to do, I mean, you're a man of the truth, Kerry, just like me. So I went back. I don't quote any books after 1965 with regard to what happened to Marilyn. I found some real jewels back there that no researcher had ever found. They were books about Marilyn, her life and times, based on primary sources that the credible authors used and all of that. And that was what I have based most of my material on, the new material, the fresh material about Marilyn. I wanted to do that because I felt like that would give a fresh approach to what happened and let people make up their own mind as to what happened. The first thing that I found was that, as I say, Dorothy had written about Marilyn. One of the falsehoods about Marilyn, and I'm trying to get justice for her. I'll tell you about my letter to the LADA, just like I've now got an investigation of Dorothy's death that we need to talk about by the NYPD Cold Case Squad. I'm trying to get justice for these two women. So when I looked at and found these articles by Dorothy, the first one, the falsehood about Marilyn was that she was depressed, possibly suicidal, and everything before she died, Kerry. That's completely untrue. Dorothy had written an article about her about a week and a half before Marilyn died that said she has a new man in her life. She's really happy with what's going on. She's hoping that she's going to reconcile with Joe DiMaggio, that they might have children, that all of these kind of things would happen. One of the greatest things that was happening in Maryland, she had been offered a Broadway play to star in, and that meant a lot to her. You know, people wanted to look at Marilyn as a dumb blonde, but she was much more than that. For God's sakes, Carrie, she read and read and read. There's a book I have in my book, Fragments, that talks about her, shows her poetry and her writing and everything. But she read Ulysses. I tried to read Ulysses, and I couldn't read it. Marilyn read those books. She was a smart woman. And so as she got towards August of 62, she had a man in her life. Dorothy Kilgallen believed it was Robert Kennedy. She wrote, he's a bigger name than Joe DiMaggio. So I found all that material, and then I enlarged it into giving us the reader a more of a truthful picture of what Marilyn was like going into August. And then I found Dorothy's articles about Marilyn after she died. If we had time, I would read some of them to you. But basically, the first thing that she said was, you know, maybe it could have been an overdose, but she would have never committed suicide. You know, she had too much going for her and all of that. And, you know, then she kind of described a little bit of what, you know, she thought the falsehoods were and everything. And then she said in an article where she asked all these questions about Marilyn's death, the real truth hasn't been told. And so I took what Dorothy found. And remember, she's right there in this in 1962. She's not like these other author or other journalists who've written about Marilyn's death in right. this day and age. She was right there. And you know how credible she was, Carrie. As I remember, you're named after her son.
Yep, that's correct.
So, you know, you have a connection to her, but I think you have the same sort of respect for her that I do. So she wrote these columns. And then let's get into what she questioned about what happened to Marilyn, if we may.
So one other thing. So we got this guy, Johnny Russo. He's been, I think it's Russo or Rossi.
Gianni Russo.
Yeah. So he said he was the bag man to Carlos Marcella throughout the whole thing, that he was rushed out of the country after the assassination by his, his guardian, Frank Costello, who was a mob boss in New York City. And he seems to have some credible information. And he said that the mob was trying to use Marilyn Monroe to set up Jack Kennedy at some get together, which he never came to. He had the good sense in Calneva, California. And as a result, once she went public saying she wouldn't blackmail the Kennedys, that was it. Her life was pretty much over.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Arcana Corporation is on the verge of bringing the world's highest grade silver mine into production. The Revenue Virginius mine in Colorado has proven improbable silver reserves grading nearly 37 ounces per ton silver with an all-in sustaining production cost of only US $8 per ounce of silver. The mine is fully permitted with infrastructure already in place, and the company has announced they plan to commence production in 2020. Achieving successful production usually results in a significant upward share price re-rating on the Lassonde curve. Arcana trades under the ticker AUN in Toronto and AUNFF in New York. To learn more, go to arcana.com. That's AURCANA.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Okay, well, let's blend in what Gianni said with what, you know, happened with Marilyn. Because as I said, once I look into Marilyn's case, then things started to open up that way. So what do we want to find is, you know, I'm a former criminal defense attorney. Again, remember, I want to look at motive. All right, if Marilyn did not commit suicide, and I have proven that in the new book, and we can get into the details as to why, then all right, how did she die and by whom? Well, what Russo brought into the mix, into the equation, that I believe is credible. First of all, he knew Marilyn early on from being back in being back in New York City, had a love affair with her. He said he talked about Marilyn enjoying walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. He really provided information about her, and it seems credible as to who Marilyn was at that particular time. Then he gets into the whole situation with what Marilyn was doing just a week before she died. And he says, at least, yes, he also provides, we should go back a minute because you're right. He says that, you know, he was at this Calneva a lodge, which is on the border of California and Nevada. But before that, Frank Costello in New York City, the mobster connected to all the other mobsters we mentioned before, Marcello and all of them, had used him as a runner, Russo. And at one point, he had him go to New Orleans, and he was to meet with Carlos Marcello. He had a package, what he believed money was in there. He got a message back from Marcello to give to Costello that the assassination was on. Now, how do I know that that is credible? Because if you remember, Kerry, that's exactly what Dorothy Kilgallen went ahead and surmised had happened after talking to Jack Ruby, going to New Orleans, and connecting Marcello, Ruby, and Oswald. And then she was going to write that book for Random House, as you remember. And they couldn't let her write that. And I have new information about how she was set up for the kill that's in Collateral Damage that I want to share with you. So let's go back then to motive. Apparently at this lodge, Marilyn was there. Bobby and Jack were there. Russo was there. Buddy Greco was there. There's an account by him that confirms what Russo said. And they were going to use her. They were going to take some film of her having sex or whatever. And she just exploded. Sinatra was there. And she said, all right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to the media with information about not only my relationships with Bobby Kennedy and Jack Kennedy. And a lot of people don't even remember she had that relationship with Robert. We'll get into that. And I'm going to tell them everything. Well, what Russo said is when he told Costello that, Marilyn was dead. And I believe that makes a lot of sense because I have proven in my book that Bobby Kennedy orchestrated the death of Marilyn Monroe. And here's why. He could not possibly let Marilyn go to the media. I have proof that he was in L.A. In July of 1962, a month before Marilyn died. And I also have proof through accounts that are just completely, they're so credible that his alibi that he was in San Francisco is phony as can be. I have the ledger at 20th Century Fox Studios where it says that he and Peter Lawford arrived in a helicopter on the afternoon when Marilyn died. I have a police officer for the Beverly Hills Police Department who was going to arrest Peter Lawford for speeding at midnight just after Marilyn would have died, and talks about seeing Lawford driving, Bobby in the back seat, and Marilyn's psychiatrist in the front seat. Daryl Gates, the police chief at the time, saw and knew Bobby was there. So we know he was involved at least in somehow or another. Apparently, what I've been told by Russo and another primary source is they went to Marilyn's home, Lawford and Kennedy, Bobby, and told her, "Don't do this. Don't go to the media." And she was so upset because Bobby had dumped her just after JFK had, that she was going to go ahead and do that. Now, what's interesting is that I really look at documents, and I'll just show you. I know the listeners won't be able to see it, but this is a gem of a document. I've called it the Rothberg Report. It's a CIA document, 3 August 1962, August 3rd, 1962, one day before Marilyn died. And what it is, it's amazing in terms of the information that's in here. Again, we're looking for damaging evidence. And this guy named Rothberg was a friend of Dorothy's in New York. Okay. So here's what it says in the document. Rothberg discussed the apparent subject of Kilgallen and the breakup with the Kennedys. Of Marilyn breaking up with the Kennedys. Rothberg told Kilgallen that Marilyn was attending Hollywood parties hosted by the inner circle among Hollywood's elite and was becoming the talk of the town again. Rothberg indicated in so many words that he had secrets to tell, no doubt arising from her trysts with the president and the attorney general. One such secret mentioned the visit by the president at a secret airbase for purposes of inspecting things from outer space. Kilgallen replied that she knew who might be the source of the visit. In the mid-50s, Kilgallen had learned of the secret efforts and so on and so forth, talks about then exactly what they were going to look up, what Kennedy was going to look at with regard to UFOs. But more than that, then, there's you know, the proof in there as to exactly what they were tape recording. They were, you know, basically information from talks about talks between Marilyn and Kilgallen. And basically, then it talks about the fact that in the memo, the SCI memo, Marilyn had a short-term relationship with Bobby Kennedy. He had promised her he would leave Ethel Kennedy and marry her. He would do this and that. He would promise her that they would be together. All of that. I even have a letter proving the relationship from Gene Kennedy Smith to Marilyn Monroe in July of 1962, I could show it to you, that basically says, listen, we understand you and Bobby are the new item, exclamation mark. When he comes back to New York, please come with him. So all of that, you know, set up the fact of proving the fact that there was this relationship. Bobby Kennedy had dumped her after promising everything. She had said, I'm going to the media. And a week after that, this poor woman is dead. And the motive there is that Bobby could not let her go to the media. Now, what's most interesting is that I found a book that nobody had ever quoted from. Frank Capel is the author. It was released in 1964. And it basically goes through the whole relationship between Bobby and Marilyn. Bobby had come to L.A. to work on a movie based on his book, The Enemy Within. It talks about the number of times he was at her home. I mean, there was no question that they had this relationship and everything. And he really fills in the dots, because then we get to Russo again. And Gianni is talking about the fact that, you know, Bobby Kennedy was involved in Marilyn's death. And I go on in the book then to give what I believe is the most plausible reason as to why Marilyn did not commit probable suicide, according to the ME report, which I want to talk about, which is all just bogus, and instead was murdered. And I show in the book a scenario as to how that happened on August 4th, 1962.
Hey, so I found this other article, which was talking about the files of this master, notorious Hollywood detective, Fred Otash.
Yeah, I know that name.
And he was spying on Marilyn Monroe. Obviously, he was hired by somebody. It could have been the government. You never know. But he supposedly just really interesting that the night that she was found dead, supposedly Bobby Kennedy and Peter Lawford were there in her house.
No. I'm sorry, Carrie. A lot of these, again, remember, you know, we have to rely on somebody that was there at the time. Dorothy was there and she was reporting on what happened and all that. Now, I'm always giving respect to other theories and everything, but there's so much garbage out there about all this. Bobby and just think about it. Bobby and Peter Lawford would never be there at her home, the, you know, hour or so, or even when she was killed. They would be too chicken, you know what, to do that. They would use operatives to go ahead and poison her with barbiturates. But again, let me go back to Dorothy, okay? Because here's what she wrote about what happened. The mail pouring in on the subject of Marilyn Monroe is amazing in volume and contact. Many of her fans and some of her people in her life want an investigation above and beyond what the police have convicted. And then she asked, I mean, this is our dear Dorothy on the job. If the woman described as Marilyn's housekeeper is really a housekeeper, why was Marilyn's bedroom such a mess? It was a small house and should have been easy to keep tidy. And why was Marilyn's door locked that night when she didn't normally lock it? Almost all of the questions mentioned the doctor's odd prescription to Marilyn to go take a ride to the beach. When she called, she said she was nervous. And Money asked questions about Eunice Murray, the housekeeper. For instance, what time did Murray go to bed? When did she awake at 3 o'clock and went to check on Marilyn? And how could she have checked on her when the door was locked and there was no way for Murray to get in there? If Marilyn was accustomed to taking barbiturates to put her to sleep, it's quite possible she could have slept through an explosion and so on and so forth. And then she asked whether the doctor or the psychiatrist got in there. And she answers all of those questions, although she says, I have a feeling the real story hasn't been told, not by a long shot. Now, that to me is much more credible in our asking questions about what happened to Marilyn. Now, what you have to remember, and I have more than 50 similarities in the book between the life and times and deaths of Marilyn and Dorothy. But just like Dorothy, as you remember, Carrie, she never got an investigation of her death. Dorothy, even though there was staged death scene and all these other things happened, it didn't. Same with Marilyn. You know what kind of investigation Marilyn got? Parker, who was the police chief and a very good friend of Bobby Kennedy's, appointed a 3-psychiatrist panel to investigate Marilyn's mental state just before she died. And what do you think they predictably came back with, just looking at whatever, that yes, no, she was suicidal and all that. Closed case. That was it. That was it. And so, you know, these two remarkable women, they did not receive justice in 1962 and 65. And JFK, in my opinion, didn't either in 1963. So connecting them all together for the first time. I mean, I'm no great researcher, but the truth has been in plain sight for so long. But I'm sorry, Carrie, an awful lot of these extraneous explanations for what happened get in the way. And I'm hopeful, at least, that my book will stir research based on what I've found. I believe I'm credible. Hell, Purdue University just decided to archive all of my body of work, 30 books, all my research, all my books, everything else. And I think that adds credibility, to the fact that, like you, I'm searching for the truth. And hopefully this book will make a big difference in terms of my contribution to history.
Hey, well, I hope it will. There's certainly some conflicting evidence out there, and maybe one day we'll find the answer. But Russo seems to come up with a lot of answers for a lot of things. He said he saw Lee Harvey Oswald when he went New Orleans one time. He just seems to be at the center of it, but it's hard to believe that he'd still be alive. And why are they letting him talk about it now?
I think he waited until hopefully all of them were dead, Carrie.
Probably since George H.W. Bush passed away, or I don't know who else could be around. He was kind of the last one from the party, but maybe there's a couple left. But still, though, would they really want their involvement in their alleged involvement in a political assassination to be known? Even the ones who are still around, does that say how weak the mob is now? Makes me wonder.
I want to make sure I tell you the good news about Dorothy, okay? Because I know it'll make a difference to you.
Sure.
I have tried for years, as you know, to get a thorough investigation of her death. Cyrus Vance Jr. said he was going to do it, and they did it for 8 months, and then they took off. I tried to get the police commissioner of New York City to do it. I flew to New York and met with him. And he reneged on his promise. But about a month and a half ago, I got a voicemail from Detective Philip Panzarella of the New York Police Department Cold Case Squad, telling me he was going to look into Dorothy's death. I wanted to race back to New York and give him a big hug because I've been waiting for somebody to do that. He and I have been corresponding. I sent him a 15-page evidence report about what happened to Dorothy, all these different kinds of things. He's got a good reputation, and I truly believe that we might get that thorough investigation. So we'll see what happens. I've put the emails to him up on my website so people can read them if they want to, in case they have any tips they want to send along. I'm doing the same thing with regard to Marilyn's death. I've written a long letter to the LA District Attorney George Gaston with a 300-page evidence report about what happened to Marilyn. I sent him a copy of Collateral Damage. All of that was delivered last Friday, and I'm hoping we'll get a thorough investigation of that death as well. Why, Carrie? Because, I feel like in my life I've been, it's my job to investigate and identify these distortions of history. And there's one quote that I keep on my desk that you might be interested in, and this is basically what you're doing. It reads, "The death cannot cry out for justice. It is the duty of the living to do so for them." By your having me on the broadcast, people may listen to it and get in touch with me with new material. This is all about history. Sure, it all happened 60 years ago, But we've got to get history straight. And it's people like you that give me the platform here to talk about what I've been able to find out. And hopefully that will lead us toward that truth.
Well, hey, it's a very noble undertaking. I'll go back to Michael Connelly, who's a world-renowned detective, fiction writer, true crime writer. He was actually a crime photographer and reporter for the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel way back when,
really?
Before he started writing. And his fictional hero, detective, in many of his books is a guy named Harry Bosch.
That's and right.
His slogan is, everyone matters or no one matters. And, you know, good. If you're going to believe in anything, then you have to believe that everyone matters no matter what. I think that's the seminal battle of our times, not just uncovering historical assassinations and collateral killings to cover up and to avoid the truth coming out, but in every aspect of our society now, either everyone matters or no one matters. And that doesn't mean I'm not embracing the welfare state or anything like that. I'm just saying everybody counts. And that's why it's important to get to the truth. Mark, hey,
bless you.
It's really been great. Yeah, it's been great having you on the show again. We'll have you on again. I'm going to read the book in detail, I promise you. You got to get the book. It's on Amazon or wherever fine books used to be sold. The Mysterious Deaths of Marilyn Monroe, Collateral Damage, The Mysterious Deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen, and the Ties That Bind Them to Robert Kennedy and the JFK Assassination. And you can get it on Kindle, audiobook, etc. Hey, I'm downloading it now. I'm going to be listening to this audiobook for the next day. And we'll have you back on again. And make sure you keep us on your list so we can follow up with you and see how this is going. All right?
Good. You're a good man, Kerry. Thank you so much.
Hey, any questions for Mark, just send me an email to kl@kerrylutz.com and we will forward them off to him. And don't forget, sign up for your free newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.